Marshall Hammett, America's leading detective fiction writer and creator of Sam Spade, the hard-boiled private eye, and William Spear, radio's outstanding producer-director of mystery and crime drama, join their talents to make your hair stand on end with the adventures of Sam Spade.
You hired me yesterday morning, but the real start of it was back in 45. Flashback.
Did you ever wonder what a bull must feel like when they let him into the ring? The bars go up, he's free, he rushes out figuring, "I've gotten away." And there in front of him are 50 guys with pitchforks and a man with an oversized knitting needle. He looks around and there's no way out. Last week I found out what that feeling is like.
Nero Wolf's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. Mr. Wolf? No, he isn't. Huh? Oh, well, for you, maybe he is.
I'm not here.
Oh, yes, yeah, he's always here.
I've gone out.
No, no, he seldom ever goes out.
I won't start on anything tonight.
Well, sure, he'd love to start on a case tonight.
Phooey.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price.
Hello there, this is Diamond. You know, this business I'm in can get pretty silly sometimes. I can go along for a whole month and get by on nothing but meals at the automat and a dozen laughs a day. The funny ones usually pay just as well as the tough ones, but eventually somebody starts something that's about as funny as an open grave.
And now here is your guide.
There is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you this fall.
OTR.
And now, here is OTR.
Hey everyone, this is OTR Rod welcoming you to another edition of Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Sorry, I didn't mean to scare anyone. This episode comes from October 15th, 1949. 1 year before my birth, yep, I was birthed, or hatched. Anyway, my parents say hatched, but anyway. 1 year before my birth, and the episode is entitled The Bogus Bills Case, and we've got something big going on with Rocky Fortune, including the episode that I'm going to present today. There are exactly 4 episodes of Rocky Fortune left to air, and I will explain to you exactly how important that is in the career of Frank Sinatra. When we get to the episode, I will tell you exactly what will be going on. And, well, wait a minute, I think I already kind of gave it away. Keep listening and you'll see what I mean. What to look forward to, and I will be presenting to you 2 episodes from the General Electric Bing Crosby show from 1953, and it's the final 2 episodes that exist of that show. And on both of those episodes, Frank Sinatra appears in both, and the first show that he appears on, it's a week before the Oscars, where he's nominated for From Here to Eternity, and then Bing has Frank back on the show the following week to see if actually when Frank Sinatra received the Academy Award From Here to Eternity. And that particular incident changed Frank's career up until this point. Frank Sinatra was a beaten man. He really was. And he was desperate for a miracle to get his life back on track and his career especially back on track, because he had divorced his first wife and married a famous actress, her name escapes me right now. And during this time, she was off in South Africa in a movie called The Snows of Kilimanjaro. And Frank was missing her a ton. And he was pretty miserable, and he even tried flying to Africa to be with his wife, but he couldn't because of the Academy Awards coming up. So he was missing his wife, and his career wasn't going well, and he was up for a nomination for From Here to Eternity, not knowing when, if and when he would get that award. But Bing Crosby, being the great man that he was, really supported Frank Sinatra and believed in Frank Sinatra. And Frank was a mess at this time. However, being on Bing's show sure helped him out a great deal. So we'll get to that as time gets closer, but I'll let you know when I'll be airing those two episodes from Bing Crosby's show from General Electric. Really kind of heady times for Frank Sinatra. And Frank Sinatra really, he may have been a man with a very large ego late in his career, but he was very, during this time, very modest, to say the least. And that's why Bing had him on the show. So anyway, so enjoy this Richard Diamond, Private Detective, and I have a Saint episode with no date and no title. I'm going to present that to you. And after that is Nero Wolf. Stay tuned for all of this and have a great week. And I'll see you back here next week.
Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Hello there, this is Diamond. I've got a little office near 53rd Street on Broadway, 8th floor. My business? Trouble. What kind of trouble? Well, take your pick. If you come up with something unusual, a new kind of trouble, drop around and see me. Because I'm known along the big street as a shamus, a gumshoe, or to the guy on Park Avenue as a private detective. If you happen to be stuck with your problem, for $100 a day in expenses, I'll chase it around until I can catch up and break its back. I average about 20 fast rounds a week with old man trouble, and so far, the decision's been on my side. But don't misunderstand me. It's my business to beat him, but I respect him. Trouble goes to work with every trick in the book. So I play it the same way, and believe me, when I put him away for the count, I don't clap my little hands in glee. I know he's just taking a rest, and he'll be back again with some new stunts. Want to know how he works? Well, the other day, I was on the way to my office. I stopped at the corner newsstand, 53rd and Broadway, to buy a paper and to say hello to an old friend.
Hi, Mr. Diamond.
Well, hello, Jeff. How's the newspaper business?
Oh, swell. How's the detective racket?
Oh, swell.
Hey, you don't sound too happy.
Jeff, I couldn't be happier if my hair was on fire. Take my advice, son. When you grow up, be sure and get a job that pays off every week in that little white envelope. Don't ever become a private detective. It's like a penny getting lost in a gum machine.
Well, I'm going to stick to the newspaper business.
Good for you.
Say, I was just about to go across the street to Mary Lou's and get some ice cream. How about it? Can I buy you a cone?
Now, that is a beautiful idea. Let's go.
Aren't you coming to work a little late, Mr. Diamond?
Well, you see, Jeff, I was up kind of late. Research, you know.
Yeah, I know. I see him going into your office all the time. That blonde last week stopped traffic all the way to 42nd Street.
Yeah, she was lovely. Got tired of social standards and shot her husband right through his morning cup of coffee.
Was that the one in the headlines?
That's the one.
Oh, hello, Jeff.
Hi, Mary Lou. Take a seat, Mr. Diamond.
Well, what did you and your friend have?
Well, I'm going to have a double strawberry. How about it, Mr. Diamond?
Sounds great.
Two double strawberries.
This is Mr. Diamond, Mary Lou. His office is in that building across the street.
Oh, how do you do?
How are you, Mary?
All right, I guess. Business could get better, and I wouldn't mind at all. Here are your cones.
This is on me, Mr. Diamond.
Oh, no, now put it away.
Oh, now, come on. I asked you over, and that makes it my treat. Here's a five, Mary Lou. Mr. Diamond's money isn't any good today.
Tell you what I'll do, Jeff. Give me a five a minute.
Sure, here.
Now, if you can tell me whose picture's on this bill, you can buy the cones.
That a deal?
That's a deal.
Lincoln. Well, what's the matter? That's right, isn't it?
Hmm? Oh, yeah.
What's wrong?
Where did you get this bill, Jeff?
Well, I just made change for it a few minutes. Hey, what's the matter with that dough?
You two act like you've never seen a $5 bill before.
Well, this Finn's counterfeit.
What?
That's right. Good job, too.
You sure?
Yep. One of the best engraving jobs I've ever run across. Paper's not too good.
Oh, that's swell. That's real great. I get jipped out of a whole $5.
Who gave it to you?
I remember the guy, all right. He came by just before you did. Made change for him, the heel.
Yeah, $5 is a lot of papers.
I'll say it is.
Well, maybe you're wrong. You could be.
Not Mr. Diamond. He's a private detective. Used to be a cop.
Look, Jeff, mind if I take this bill along with me?
Nah. What good's it gonna do me?
Oh, it's not so bad. Here, I'll give you a good $5 for it.
No, sir. You only learn by mistakes. I made a big one, so I'm out $5. I'll get along.
Look, it's worth the $5. I'm just buying it from you.
Sure, Jeff. Go ahead and take it.
Uh-uh. Thanks a lot, Mr. Diamond, but I just can't.
Okay, Jeff. Maybe I can find the guy who slipped this to you. Maybe we can get your $5 back.
What are you gonna do?
Take a run down to the Fifth Precinct. See how much of this stuff is floating around New York. Now, I want you to do something for me, Jeff.
Sure, anything.
I want you to keep an eye out for the guy who gave you this phone.
I'm way ahead of you.
Well, now, that's what I'm afraid of. I want you to promise me if you do spot him not to do anything until you get in touch with me. Promise?
Yeah, okay.
Well, I'll be at the station. Ask for Lieutenant Levinson's office.
Right.
Here's for the ice cream, Mary Lou. Good ice cream, too.
Oh, thanks. I make it here. Right and back. Take a quart home some night.
I always do, but it generally has a cork in it. I left Mary Lou's ice cream parlor and headed for the Fifth Precinct Police Station. I don't usually start something like that, but when a kid gets fleeced out of a whole day's pay, I get a little hot under the collar. I walked into the squad room and spotted Sergeant Otis putting shine on his big shoes.
Oh, it's you, Diamond.
Now, what good is that going to do you, Otis? You can lose a whole can of polish in the cracks.
What do you mean? My shoes ain't cracked so bad.
Well, maybe not, but I've seen bacon that looked better.
If you want to see the lieutenant, go on in.
Thank you, Sergeant. Until we meet again.
Why don't you stop trying to be so funny?
Sergeant, I'll do it if you'll do something for me.
What?
Cut off your head. That face could start a Harry Carey epidemic. Hello, Walt.
Uh-huh.
Now, what the devil's the uh-huh about?
What do you mean?
That bilious explosion you just popped up with. Uh-huh. Sound like you just swallowed a whole pineapple.
Why?
What do you mean, why?
Who's dead?
Huh?
The body you said you found.
The body I said... Uh-oh, no, no, Walt. You're not built for it.
Who?
No, Walt. It's my routine. It won't work for you.
Oh, I don't know what you're talking about.
Well, sure you do. You wanted to know who's dead. Well, I'm not going to tell you.
Huh?
Don't try to be cute with me. You know what it's all about. I'm not going to be the fall guy. You just hunt for the body.
Wait a minute. I don't know anything about a body.
You wanted to know who's dead, didn't you?
Sure, but that was just a gag.
Okay, have your fun, but I'm not going to tell you.
Tell me what?
Who's dead?
You mean somebody really is?
What are you talking about?
Well, I'm talking about what you just said. Now, who's dead?
That's a stupid question.
Why is it?
Well, if you don't know who's dead, what the devil are you doing in charge of homicide? Go on over to the robbery detail.
Now, you wait a minute. You said...
Yes, Walt?
Oh, get out of here.
I did not. I never said, oh, get out of here. When I came in, I said, hello, Walt, and you said, uh-huh. Then I said, what do you mean, uh-huh? And you wanted to know where the body was.
I did not. I said, who's dead?
Why?
Oh, no, 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 please. I'm an old man.
Oh, Walt, get away from that window and take a look at this.
Oh, please. Do I have to? It'll probably explode.
Now, be a good boy and open your little eyes.
Oh, all right, but I just know I'll be sorry.
Here.
Hmm? You don't owe me any money.
Well, if I did, I'd make sure to pay you off in this stuff.
Why, what's wrong with... Where'd you get this?
Some guy slipped it to Jeff, the newsboy. He got change for it.
Oh, that certainly is a nice stunt.
Well, maybe the guy didn't know he was passing counterfeit.
I doubt it. You don't give a newsboy $5 for a paper.
Okay, tell me about it.
The stuff has been flooding the city. We can't get a lead. Picked up a couple of passes, but they won't crack.
How do they work?
Look, Rick, this isn't my department. The Treasury boys are working on it right now. Why don't you go over and talk to them?
Well, if you want to be snooty about it.
Now, you wait a minute, Diamond. Yeah? Lieutenant Levinson, homicide.
Is Mr. Diamond there?
Now, wait a minute. Rick, it's for you. Yeah, wait just a minute. Here, Diamond, and if you're mixed up in something...
Walt, be quiet.
Hello?
Mr. Diamond?
Yeah, Jeff?
Yeah, I just spotted the guy who slipped me the phony bill. He went into the bar next to the ice cream parlor.
You stay where you are. I'll be right over.
I'll be at the stand.
Rick.
Yeah? Please.
Walt.
Yeah?
Bye. Jeff.
Oh, Mr. Diamond. He hasn't come out yet. He's still in the bar.
Come on.
Where are we going?
Leave your papers for a second. I want you to point him out.
Okay. He's a big guy. You better be careful.
Big guys always make me careful.
You want me to go in with you?
Just stick your head in the door and point him out, and then go on back to your papers. If I start bleeding, I'll scream. See him?
No. Yeah, there he is. Over in that booth.
Well, well, well.
You know him?
Yeah. Go on back to your stand.
Oh, golly, Mr. Diamond, can't I?
No, Jeff, go on back.
Okay.
Hello, Walker.
Huh? Oh. What do you want, Shamus?
Well, I'll have a talk. Mind if I sit down?
Does it make any difference?
Not much.
Then sit.
You passed a phony five spot this morning.
I did? Well, shame on me.
How many more you got on you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
You want me to turn you upside down and shake it out of you?
Diamond.
Yeah?
Bo.
Walker.
Yeah? Oh, hey, you! Let go! Oh, you busted my arm!
You want it back?
Yeah!
Oh. Now let's see your pockets.
Okay.
Get on your feet. I want to see what you're doing.
All right.
Okay, dump them.
Hey, what's going on here?
Just relax, bartender. I'm taking care of some business.
Well, there ain't going to be any rough stuff in my joint, so you better relax, sonny.
Yeah, make this guy take his big paws off of me. He's trying to shake me down.
Oh, yeah? You want me to call the cops, sonny?
Maybe that's not a bad idea. How about it, Walker? You want him to call the law?
I don't care who he calls. Just get out of my way, Diamond.
You're not going anywhere.
Now, I told you to lay off, sonny, and I meant it.
Now, let him go, you hear me?
Look out, he's making a break.
Just let him be.
Get out of my way, Pop. You're too old to lose another set of teeth.
I ain't turning you loose until that guy makes the street.
Sorry, Pop, you better take a chair.
Mr. Diamond, what happened?
You see which way you went?
Yeah, there it goes around that corner.
Stay at the ice cream parlor, Jeff, so I can get you if I need you. I took off like a seagull in the hurricane. I turned the corner and spotted my man jumping into a cab, so I did the same. He led me across town to a little dive on 13th Street and got out of his cab. My boy parked up the block, and we watched while Walker looked around for a tail. When he was satisfied, he'd given me the shake, he went in. I paid off my cabbie and followed. It was another bar, and Walker wasn't anywhere in the room. I sat down, ordered a beer, and waited. After about 10 minutes, I saw a couple of guys wander out of a door in the back. A couple of minutes later, a couple of more wandered out. So I wandered in. It was a small-time gambling setup. The kind you can throw in the back of your car if the cops come. I started getting that lousy feeling again. You don't just walk into a place like that unless someone wants you to. And if they do, it's usually because they got it fixed so you stay around. Maybe permanently.
What are you tailing me for, Diamond?
Why? Make you uncomfortable?
Yeah.
That's a cozy setup. Good way to get rid of bad money. Pay the winner off with counterfeit.
I think we'd better go back to my office.
Oh, I don't know. I might have a little fun here. I'll bet if one of those guys at the table knew he was going to be paid off in counterfeit, he'd just about tear this place apart. And you too.
Diamond, don't be stupid.
Oh, something new's been added.
Yeah, and it makes so much noise when it goes off. Let's go back to my office, huh?
For some reason, I just can't think of a good argument not to.
This way. Have a seat.
My ankles get lumpy when I sit down. Bad circulation.
Then stand on your head.
It doesn't work. I keep talking to toes all day.
How'd you get onto this setup?
Oh, luck. You passed a bad bill to a newspaper boy. He spotted you for me.
You know what happens to you?
No. As a matter of fact, I was thinking what's going to happen to you.
What do you mean?
Treasury boys, homicide, Fifth Precinct. And tomorrow we're taking a full-page ad in the Times. You should do a big business.
You're lying.
Okay. I think I'll sit down while you wrestle with it.
You mean the team I know about this place and me?
The only way they'll get to know you any better is when they give you a room number at Sing Sing. Oh, you mind if I put my feet up?
Sure, go ahead.
He kept asking questions, not waiting for answers. He was good and worried. And as long as I could keep him that way, the longer I was going to keep on breathing.
I don't believe one rotten thing you said, Diamond.
Okay. He kept trying to convince himself that I was lying. He wanted to shoot me in the worst way. He moved around behind his desk and sat down. Bless his little heart. I had both feet on the front of his desk, so I shoved out his heart. I pinned him against the wall of the desk and jumped up to get better leverage. I shoved so hard the front of the desk nearly cut him in two. He was stuck and he couldn't use his arms.
I can't breathe.
You want to tell me about it?
I don't know a thing.
Okay. You look pretty silly from the waist down. Come on, Walker. If I mash you anymore, they'll be able to use you for wallpaper.
Okay.
Now leave the gun in your pocket. When I pull the desk back, put your hands on top of it. You try a stunt and you end up in halves.
Okay. What do you want to know?
Who's the big wheel behind the counterfeit ring?
You give me a chance if I tell you.
No deals.
Can't blame me for trying.
All right, you tried. Now, you want back in the vice?
No. I'll tell you.
Walker. He died with his head rolled back and his eyes staring up like he wanted to starve for trying. Whoever shot him had been out in the alley and had nailed him through the window. I looked out, but the killer had disappeared. So I put in a call to homicide, and finally, Walt and his boys arrived.
Diamond, don't you ever get tired of corpses.
Well, of course not. I just do my bit and try to make you happy.
Hey, you want me to call the wagon and get the coroner down here, Lieutenant? No, Otis. I thought we might all sit around and wait for the dead man to say something.
Oh, I was only asking, Lieutenant.
Well, start using that mallet head of yours, you mallet head, and make a report.
Okay.
Now, Diamond, I want to know how you got mixed up in this thing.
Well, the dead man was the one who slipped the paper boy the phony five. I tailed him, and he was just about to tell me who was behind the ring when he got a hole in his head.
Oh, he was going to tell you, was he? Just like that. What did you do? Set his clothes on fire?
No. We were playing truth and consequences, and he fibbed, so I...
Now, you stop that. This guy was the only link we had on the counterfeit ring. And you have to fix it so he dies. Rick, there's enough phony money floating around New York right now to start another Black Friday. This is the best setup we've run into since Dad Foster operated in 1937.
Dad Foster?
Yeah, Dad Foster. You remember hearing about him?
Yeah, is he still doing time?
No, he served his sentence and he's gone straight ever since.
How do you know? Where is he?
He runs a little saloon on 53rd Street.
53rd? Thanks, Bob.
Oh, now, you wait a minute. Who the devil are you calling?
A quiz program. I want to win an electric chair.
Oh...
Mary Lou's Ice Cream Parlor.
Is Jeff the newsboy there?
Why, yes. It's for you, Jeff.
Thanks. Hello?
Jeff, this is Mr. Diamond. I want you to do me a favor.
Sure, anything for you.
Okay, now, you know the saloon next to the ice cream parlor?
Yeah.
You know the bartender?
Yeah, old guy. Buys a paper from me every night.
All right. Now, stay in the parlor and keep an eye on the front of the saloon. If the bartender comes out, find out where he goes. But for Pete's sake, be careful.
Sure, Mr. Diamond. I'll do what you say. Is something up?
Well, could be. Now, if anything happens before I get there, call Lieutenant Levinson. I'll tell you all about it when I see you.
You're getting to be a pretty important fellow, Jeff. Phone calls now.
Oh, that was Mr. Diamond. He wants me to stay here and keep an eye on the front of the saloon. Okay?
Oh, sure, of course. Why does he want you to do that?
Oh, it's something big, I think. Something to do with the bartender that works there.
The bartender?
Yeah. I'll just sit up in front here and keep an eye out.
Look, Jeff, watch the store for me, will you? I've got to go in back and pack some ice cream to be sent out.
Sure. Mary Lou! Mary Lou! Guess I'd better get it myself. Mary Lou's Ice Cream Parlor.
Can I talk with Mary Lou?
She went in back. I'll get her for you. Just a minute.
Thank you.
I tell you, it's getting too risky. That Diamond's a private detective.
Yeah, he came in the bar and started to rough up Walker.
Well, that stupid Walker should have been more careful about passing out that money. What if Diamond catches him and makes him talk?
He caught up. But he didn't make Walker talk.
What do you mean?
I took care of Walker. I got a good shot at him from the alley.
Well, maybe it's better like that. But look, if we don't...
Hello?
Yeah?
Mary Lou isn't here. Get off the line.
What?
Yeah, get off!
Operator.
Get me the 5th Precinct Police Station. It's a matter of life and death.
I'll connect you.
Oh, golly, please hurry.
I'm ringing.
5th Precinct.
Is Mr. Richard Diamond around there? He said to call Lieutenant Levinson.
Oh, Diamond isn't here. That is the lieutenant.
You know where I can reach them?
Yeah, but that's about it all. Who's this?
I'm a friend of Mr. Diamond's. I'm in an ice cream parlor.
Ice cream parlor? Look, son.
No. I just heard someone say that they'd killed a man named Walker, and I think I know who's behind the counterfeit ring.
What's the address?
It's...
Hello. Hello, kid. What's wrong? Hello.
Good lucky we came out this way.
I wonder how he heard us.
Walk back and open the door? What are we going to do with him?
Well, tie him up and gag him. There's a closet in the back, and we can put him in there until it's safe to take him out.
No, but he's making too much trouble the way he is. Okay.
I can get him back there. You better go on over to the bar in case someone shows up.
All right. Later tonight, I'll take the kid down to the river and teach him how hard it is to swim when he's dead. Now, you listen here, young fella. If you're back here for trouble...
Dad, I'm back for a lot of trouble, and I think you're going to help me out.
You'd better leave, sonny, or I'll call the law.
Why don't you?
What do you want?
I want to know how long you've been back in the counterfeit racket.
Now, look, sonny, I've been going straight for a long time.
You know something, Dad? I don't think so. Let's get down to the station and talk about it.
You got a warrant, Shamus?
I got a nasty disposition. You want me to show you?
No.
You want a gun, Dad?
Why, what difference does it make?
I'm going to look at it. A guy named Walker got dead from a gun. Now, let's see it.
Sonny.
What is it?
I can't show it to you.
Yeah, why not?
Because I got it under the bar, pointed right at your belly. If I drag it out, it might scare the customers.
Oh, it's like that, huh?
It sure is. You see that door there in the back?
I know.
That's a good boy. You just keep walking along your side of the bar and don't try anything. I just had my floor scrubbed. It'd be a shame to spill you all over it. Okay. Open the door. Go on out. Up the alley.
You shoot Walker?
I might have.
Oh, where you got your printing presses?
You're just full of questions, aren't you, sonny? Okay. Stop here.
Behind the ice cream parlor, huh? Well.
Mary!
Make mine hot fudge with the nuts.
Mary!
For just a minute. Say, what's the idea? I thought you... Oh.
Good afternoon. I'm selling a new brand of Indian nuts, great for banana splits.
What's the Shamus doing here?
He's too smart. I gotta cut off his education.
Are you crazy? This guy's got friends. That kid was calling the 5th Precinct, remember?
Kid?
Yeah, your little news hound.
What did you do with him?
He's all right until tonight. We got him locked up.
Dad, I think I'll make you eat that .38.
I don't think so. No difference if I kill you right here.
Oh, hold it, Dad. We can't have a gun going off back here. Even if we could hide the Shamus, they'd find the presses.
Oh, so that's it. Those ice cream machines, the cover-up.
Ain't he smart.
What do? Ship the stuff out in ice cream cartons?
What's with you? You want a tour of inspection?
Come on, now, take it easy. He won't be smart for long.
Well, how are you going to do it?
We're going to take a walk, aren't we, Shamus?
Oh, I have the most horrible instep. I'll never make it without skates or something.
You'll make it. Come on, the car's around front.
Hi! Hey, what's happening in the street?
Oh, Dad.
Yeah, it's only some drunk come out of the bar the wrong way. Funny, I didn't see him in there.
Well, this is very confusing. If this is 53rd Street, somebody's stolen some buildings. Oh, hey, hello.
Now, take it easy, Shamus. I'm putting the gun in my pocket, but it's still right in line with your belt.
I'm going back inside.
No. Play it straight, just like we were talking.
Well, you're pretty unsociable, to say the least. What's the matter? Can't you even say hello?
I'm lost. Sure. You're in an alley. The entrance is right out there.
Oh, yeah? Oh, would you mind showing me? I seem to be a little confused.
Now, look, it's right up there. Just keep going.
Hey, where'd you go?
Oh, no.
Oh, there you are, Lieutenant.
Lieutenant.
It's a cop.
Look out, Walt. Look out. Ah! Get the girl, Walt. Come on, Dad. Give me that gun.
Let go of me. Let me go, you
lousy
copper.
You got him, Rick? He won't play. There. Now he will.
Just take
go.
It easy, lady.
Hey, what's going on?
Otis.
Yeah?
Go out and start walking around the block.
Huh?
You hear me? Go on.
Okay, but I don't get it. What do you want me to walk around the block for?
I want you to get used to it, because that's what you're going to be doing for the rest of your time on the force. In Flatbush.
Flatbush?
Yes.
Gee, Mr. Diamond, thanks for the dinner invitation, but where are we going?
Well, I'm going to introduce you to my gal. She's a redhead, Jeff, so no cracks about my office research.
Oh, sure. But don't you think you should have called her first? How do you know she's got enough dinner?
Jeff, this girl's got more steaks in her deep freezer than a bullfight arena sees in a year. Here we are.
Yes? Oh, good evening, Mr. Diamond.
Good evening, Francis. This is Jeff, Francis. He's going to have dinner with us.
Hi.
Oh, hi. Come right in. Miss Asher's in the study, Mr. Diamond.
Thank you, Francis.
Mr. Diamond.
Yes?
You know the various items that you've left with me for safekeeping?
Look, Francis, I promise I'll get them out of hock as soon as I get a paying client.
Oh, no, no, it's not that, sir. I didn't really want to hold them as security in the first place. But as long as you insisted in such a fine collection, I'd like to show them to, well, to my girl, sir.
Why, sure, Francis. I didn't know you had a girl.
Oh, yes, sir. She's the upstairs maid in the apartment below us.
Oh.
I'm afraid I told her a wee fib to get acquainted, as it were. She thinks I'm an undercover agent, and I'm afraid I'm going to have to prove it.
Well, my gun and the badge should do the trick. And if it doesn't work, just get under a cover.
Oh, by George, that was the real... Yes, sir. Good evening, sir.
Come on, Jeff. We're not appreciated.
Rick.
Oh, hello.
Helen, this is Jeff, the boy who's helping me send Dad Foster and company back to prison. Jeff, this is Helen Asher.
Yes, sir.
Well, thank you, Jeff.
They had him locked up in the closet for a couple of hours, and he looked kind of hungry when he got him out. How about it, honey? You think you can grind up another cow?
Oh, well, there's plenty for Jeff and me, but you've got to make up for three things.
Three things?
Yes. First of all, you haven't called me in 2 days. Second, you're half hour late for dinner. And third, well, I'll tell you later.
I'll leave the room if you want me to.
No, no, Jeff. You stay right here. You're going to literally see a man sing for his supper.
Helen.
All right. Come on, Jeff. We'll go dig into those nice, fat, juicy steaks.
Oh, boy.
Steaks? Wait a minute. My taste buds just started whipping each other. My vibrato may sound like a machine gun, but I'll do it.
Well, I thought you were kidding. Is he really going to sing, Miss Asher?
No, I'm not going to sing Miss Asher. I'm going to do a little song I used to sing with hip boots and a gondola. You're breaking my heart 'cause you're leaving. You've fallen for somebody new. It isn't too easy believing you'd leave after all we've been through. It's breaking my heart to remember the dreams we depended upon. You're leaving a slow, dying ember. I'll miss you, my love, when you're gone. I wish you joy, though teardrops burn. But if someday you should want to return, please hurry back and we'll make a new start. Till then you're breaking my
Mr. Diamond, did you really sing in a gondola with hip boots on?
Yeah, that's right, Jeff.
Well, I know you don't need the hip boots anymore. Will you loan them to me?
What for?
I want to wait out of here.
Well, get him.
With that, you get two desserts.
You have just
Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Helen was played by Virginia Gregg, Lieutenant Levinson by Ed Begley. Also in our cast were Wilms Herbert, Tommy Bernard, Sammy Hill, Lou Krugman, and Polly Bear. Music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Richard Diamond is written by Blake Edwards and directed by Richard Sandville. Dick Powell soon will be seen in the screen version of the best-selling novel, Mrs. Mike. Now, this is Eddie King inviting you to be with us again at the same time next week when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. Saturday night brings you some of the week's best radio entertainment when you tune for the stars on NBC. Stay tuned to NBC every Saturday evening for a great lineup of programs, including Hollywood Star Theater, Ralph Edwards' Truth or Consequences, Your Hit Parade, A Day in the Life of Dennis Day, The Judy Canova Show, and Grand Ole Opry. All the best on NBC. Stay tuned now for Victor Mature and Hollywood Star Theater on NBC.
Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. Here's Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune.
According to the insurance guys, an average joker like me can expect to show up on the census for about 66 years before he shuffles off the old mortal coil. However, an old buddy of mine who knows about these things says that in the case of certain unfortunate citizens, the statistics are not valid. And then he proceeds to produce a fresh corpse to prove it.
Will it be, Mac?
Let me have a beer, will you, Doc?
Check.
Rocky. Rocky Fortunato.
Huh?
Don't you remember me?
Wait a minute.
PS-46, the baseball team.
PS-46? Hey, that takes me back a long way.
Sammy! Sammy Makinson from Bleakman Street.
Holy mackerel.
Green bait the Fortunato with the Merkinson. Best double play combo in green paint.
Well, how are you, Sam?
Never better. How's yourself?
Able to sit up and take a little nourishment, kid? What's new? What you doing with yourself?
Me? You never believe. I'm an actuary.
A who?
Actuary. I figure out statistical probabilities. Like if such and such happens, then probably such and such will happen. How about you?
Right now I'm in the same kind of business, generally. I'm what you might call a horse actuary.
Yeah?
Yeah, only I ain't so good. This morning I bet on a horse to show. If I figured right, I would only bet on him to live.
So you're between jobs again, huh?
You know me, Sammy. I get restless.
Still looking for the bluebird, huh? Yeah, how many times a month you used to run away when we were kids? 3 at least.
Yeah. Well, it's good to see you, Sammy.
Hey, you can't just run away. I got things to talk about. Come on, let me buy you a drink. Come on, I'm celebrating.
No kidding. You sell a big policy?
Sell a policy? No. Hey, Rock.
Huh?
I'm gonna get married.
No kidding.
Yeah. Girl works here in the building. Secretary.
Well, well.
So you see, you gotta have a drink with me. To celebrate, right?
Why not? Bartender? Anesthetic. Minutes and 90 proof later, Sam and I are just entering the third grade at PS-46, and we got about 6 more years to relive. And by this time, my lips are beginning to get numb, and the same waitress who looked like Marjorie Maine half an hour ago is now beginning to take on proportions like Marilyn DiMaggio.
Rocky, pal, yeah, you're the salt of the earth. Rock, another drink.
Well, well, if it ain't the old A&P gypsy himself. Hiya, Rock.
Sergeant, didn't your mother tell you you ought to stay out of places like this?
Rocky, we were very poor when I was a boy. I couldn't afford a mother.
That's just what I thought. Sergeant Hamilton J. Finger, meet my old buddy boy, Sammy Merkinson.
Our pleasure. You two boys look like you didn't just arrive.
Ain't it the truth? I was just walking along, minding my own business, when this sneak here pulls a bar on me. What could I do?
You're a detective?
Homicide.
Hey, have one with us, Sarge?
Never touch it on duty.
He's on duty. What a soft touch, huh?
There's a murder being committed every minute in this country.
So why ain't you out arresting somebody?
Listen to him.
I'm a taxpayer. You're wasting my money. Go find a murderer.
They ain't so easy to come by.
Ain't so easy with a murder every minute? Rock, you and me, we could go out and find one just like that.
Well, if you see anybody, you let me know, huh? So long, fellas. Take it easy.
See you around, Sarge.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's a nice fella. He's stupid, but he's nice. He's a good cop, too.
Nice. He's a bum.
Careful, Sammy. This man's a friend of mine.
I repeat, as a detective, he's a bum.
What makes you say?
There's probably murderers right in this room.
What makes you say?
Figures.
Why?
Why? Oh, Rock, you ever heard of the law of probabilities?
They got a law about that, too?
That's my business.
Yeah.
Actuary. I'm telling you, it figures that there's a corpse around, and if there's a corpse, ipso facto.
I'll take your word.
That's more like it. Go on. Let's go.
You're where?
Find the murderer.
Ah, wait a minute.
Well, you got something better to do?
Nah, I guess not.
Okay, pal. Come on, let's go find us a murderer.
Well, I haven't finished my drink yet.
That don't matter. We'll case this place first, right?
Right. Somewhere in the back of my soggy brain, something told me this was all silly, but somehow I really didn't care. So we spent the next 10 minutes standing at the bar looking for suspects. What's wrong?
Shh. What? I see one.
One what?
A murderer.
Yeah, where?
Oh, Rock, over there. Over the end of the bar.
Yeah.
Don't you see the little mousy-looking guy with the bald hair? Him?
Come on. Okay. No, wait. Now, how do we handle it? We gain his confidence?
No, we startle him. Citizen, why?
We scare him.
Sure. Okay. All right, Jack. Where'd you put the body?
Are you gentlemen from the police?
That'd be... Quit stalling.
Are you kidding?
Yes, I see you are. Well, I intended to go over to you. Really, I did. But, well, I came down to have a few drinks to get up my courage.
A likely story.
Likely.
Well, usually, gentlemen, I go right home to my wife, Helen. Tonight, after I killed the girl...
Hey, Sam.
Huh?
This guy sounds for real.
Yeah. I told you he was a likely suspect. Okay, mister...
Crispy is the name. Arthur H. Crispy. I work for the Paramount Insurance Company on the 55th floor.
How do you like that? A competitor of ours.
Oh, gentlemen, it's no joke, I assure you. I committed a murder. Less than an hour ago.
Hey, we better go up and identify the body.
Wait a minute. What's the name of the guy you murdered?
Oh, it wasn't a guy. It was a girl. Ethel. Ethel Harkins. She works in our office.
How did you happen to kill her?
Well, I had been seeing her, if you know what I mean.
Uh-huh.
And it was expensive. Ethel's the kind of a girl who likes, well, who liked to go nice places and wear nice things, and I'm in the accounting department. I began taking money, not much at a time, but it adds up.
Gee, don't I know it.
I decided about a week ago I'd stop seeing her. I told her tonight, and she was furious. She wanted money. She said I'd been using her. She threatened to tell my employers, and it would have ruined me. I tried to stop her, but she began to raise her voice, and I began to choke her, and... she fell on the floor.
How do you like that? Ask him where he stashed the body.
Yeah, where?
Well, I left it in my office, in the closet. I came down here to get a drink to steady my nerves until I figured out what to do. And You gentlemen must work awfully fast.
Sari?
Well, we better go take a look.
Yeah.
Well, I don't think that I can face it, gentlemen. Here's the key to my office. Now, if you like...
Yeah, tell you what. I'll stay here and see this buster don't get away, see?
Yeah.
You go up and find the body, call the cops. Right?
Okay.
Here's the key. 55, and my name is on the door.
You're an executive?
Well, sort of an executive.
What sort?
A vice president.
I stumble to the elevators and climb into an empty one. A smart-aleck cat in a monkey jacket gives me a smart-aleck look, and we begin negotiations for the 55th floor.
Going up floor, please.
55. And don't spare the cables.
Well, fasten your safety belts, and away we go. Mm-hmm. 55, watch your step, please.
Thanks. And when you come up again, would you bring up my heels? I think I left them about the 48th floor.
I use Arthur Crispy's key to let myself into the offices of the Paramount Insurance Company and stumble my way past a row of doors till I come to one marked Arthur H. Crispy. Underneath it in gold letters, it says Vice President. The door ain't locked, so I turn the knob, slip in, and turn on the light. Well. Hello, operator. Get me to the 21st precinct.
Yeah.
Sergeant Hamilton J. Finger on duty?
Yeah.
Hello, Ham. Yeah, it's Rocky. Listen, Unc. Slip your metatarsal pads on and get over to the office of the Paramount Insurance Company in the Sun Building. Yeah, 55th floor. You know that corpse we were joking about? He's here. A blonde. No, I ain't having any DTs. Come on, will you? This is for the brass ring. I hang up the phone and start to turn around just in time for whoever sneaked in behind me to lower the 6 o'clock boom. I feel the thud.
Oh!
And somebody pulls the blackout curtains inside my brain. Wow.
Come on, take it easy, Rocky. Take it easy.
Oh!
Come on.
Oh, hello, Sarge.
Is he all right?
Okay, what happened?
What happened? I came up and I saw the body of the blonde on the floor and somebody belted me just as I... The body. Where is it?
It's just what I was going to ask you.
It was right there on the floor, huh, Sarge?
So were you. From what Mr. Merkinson tells me, you and Mr. Crispy here and him had all a real ball down in that bar.
Now, look, if you're trying to tell me there wasn't any such corpse...
But there was, I tell you. I strangled her with my own hand.
Oh, sure.
Listen, I'm... Wait a minute, there's somebody coming.
All right, now you just shut up till we find out who it is.
So there you are.
Hello, dear.
Don't hello dear me. You realize I've been waiting at the restaurant for 2 hours, and don't try to tell me it was a business conference. I can smell the alcohol from here.
It wasn't a business conference, dear. This gentleman is from Homicide. Sergeant, this is my wife, Mrs. Crispy.
Homicide? Oh, no. Arthur, you haven't been telling them that story about the corpse again.
My dear.
What's this?
Every time he gets a few drinks in him, he starts confessing to a murder. Last week, he announced to my sewing club that he had just strangled his boss and 7 vice presidents. Fortunately, everyone thought it was funny.
Helen, you're just making this up. You don't know what happened.
Well, if everybody is sobered up a little now, I'll be running along.
But I killed her.
And I saw the body.
Well, statistically, it figures. The law of probability.
The law of probability says I will probably throw the whole slew of you into the clink if you get me out on any more wild turkey hunts. How do I get out of here?
Well, you can take the executive car. Just turn to your left.
Thanks.
I'll join you.
Me too.
I think I need one, too.
Arthur.
But I'll skip it this time.
On the way down to the executive car, I try to convince Finger that what I saw was not a hallucination. But by the time we reach the ground floor, he's practically got me believing it was. Sammy and I go back into the bar to think things over. I don't
don't get it, Sam. I just don't get it. I saw that blonde with marks on her throat.
What figures?
Somebody conked me and took the body someplace else. But the question is, who?
Well, it couldn't have been Crispy. He was with me till we got worried about you and went up.
Somebody must have been hiding behind the door when I walked into Crispy's office.
Wasn't you, was it, Rock?
What?
I mean, you didn't move the body yourself, did you?
What makes you think so?
Well, look, kid, there ain't ketchup on your sleeve, and we ain't been eating raspberries, so it must be blood.
Huh? Holy mackerel, how did that get there?
From moving the body, maybe?
Don't be ridiculous. Excuse me a minute, Sam.
Where you going?
Wash the stain off in the wash. I'll be right back. So Sammy and I resume where we left off. We're there maybe, 5 minutes, still trying to figure an answer. Something screwy about all this, Sam. I saw that corpse as plain as day.
It figures, Rock. It figures.
Now, somebody must
gentlemen.
Have... Buster, what are you doing here?
I sneaked away from my wife.
So?
Mr. Fortune, Mr. Merkinson, you've got to believe me. I did choke that girl. She was in my office. I'll never rest until somebody believes me.
I believe you, Crispy, but nobody believes us.
If there was a corpse there, where is it?
That's a good question. If there was a corpse.
But I tell you that...
Hey, Rock. Tell me, you been eating shrimp cocktail?
Huh? What's that got to do with anything?
Nothing. Only if that ain't cocktail sauce on your sleeve, what is it?
Hey, now, how did that stuff get there?
Well, you better wash it off before it stains.
Yeah. Yeah, I better do that. I head for the washroom when suddenly lightning strikes and I make my way to the executive elevator instead. I get in the car and shut the door, only I don't press the button. Not just yet. I check my sleeve. Where there was only one red spot, there are now two. A second later, there are three. It could be that the drinks are too strong, but it ain't. So I chin myself up, open the escape hatch that they have on the roof of every elevator. Sure enough, there on top of the car is the dead body of Ethel Hawkins. The same body I found in Crispy's office. I'm just about getting ready to run for the cops when somebody upstairs presses the button. The door closes and we start to rise. Honey, I don't know about you, but I'm getting over the first stop. Pardon me, this is where... Well, well, if it isn't Mrs. Crispy.
I'm looking for Arthur. What's that?
My companion? It appears to be a corpse. Come on in.
With that?
Why not? You've seen her before.
What do you mean?
I mean, you're the one who found her in Arthur's office and moved her out to the elevator.
Oh, you're insane. Why would I do a thing like that?
You tell me.
What makes you even think...
Okay, let's have it.
Well, I suppose I may as well tell you. I began to wonder why Arthur wasn't showing up for the theater, so I came up to his office. I used the executive car, I always do. And when I let myself into the office, I saw the body of this woman.
You know her?
Well, I knew that she and Arthur had seen each other a few times, but I knew it was all over.
So?
While I was trying to decide what to do, you came in and called the police. I hit you over the head, carried the body to the elevator, and pushed it up through the escape hatch. Then I left her and... Well, I pretended to come back when everyone was together.
That the whole truth and nothing but?
The whole truth and nothing but. It was crazy, I guess. Well, I know that Arthur isn't a bad man. She was trying to blackmail him and...
All right, lady. We better just leave this body here and call the cops.
Poor Arthur. He's always been so gentle,
Look, you go into the office and phone the police. I'll go down and break the news to your husband. I get downstairs and elbow my way into the bar where Sammy and Crispy are waiting.
Well, it's about time you got back. Did you get the stains out?
I didn't get the stains out, but I found out where I got them.
Yeah, where?
They came from the body of Ethel Hawkins.
What?
I found it on top of the roof of the executive car where Helen Crispy put it.
Wow.
Are you serious?
That's right, Arthur.
But why in the world should Helen have...
She didn't want a murder rap pinned on you. I guess she loves you. Go figure out a dame. 20 minutes later, Sergeant Finger comes down to the bar to make the pinch. The three of us are sitting around the table like it was awake when Sergeant Finger ankles in.
Okay, fellas, the party's over.
You been upstairs?
I've been. Lieutenant's up there now with a woman.
You saw the body?
I saw the body.
I'll sign a full confession.
Before we get to that, just how did you two characters get involved with this whole thing?
Funniest thing you ever heard of, Sarge. We're having a few drinks. And after you dropped in and Sammy here, Sammy's a statistician, he says, it figures in a building this size has got to be a murderer. So we begin looking for suspects, see? Sammy takes one look at this guy here, and bingo, that's the guy, he says. So we walk over, like a gag. And Sammy says, where did you stash the body, pal? He almost goes to pieces and tells us. It's up in my office, he tells us. So far, it's a joke. But then I see this guy's serious. How do you like that for coincidence, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty coincidental. You just pulled it right out of the hat, huh, Sammy?
Yeah, figures, that's all.
You think so?
Well, it was a long shot, I admit, but it worked. First guy we tapped just stabbed his lady friend.
That's amazing, all right. Well, Arthur?
Wait a minute.
Huh?
Say, Arthur, you said before that you choked her to death, right?
Yes, she threatened to tell the president of the company, and I grabbed her throat and choked her, and then I ran out of the office and came down here.
That's very interesting, because the body we found was stabbed with a paper knife from your desk.
What's going on in that little mind, Fortune?
I'm just trying to figure, Sarge. A corpse don't bleed, right?
Right.
So if Arthur Crispy choked her and somebody stabbed her body, it wouldn't bleed.
What's this got to do with that?
My sleeve is covered with blood. Helen Crispy had it on her sleeve, too. Arthur, you're sure you didn't stab her?
I choked her.
So then how come Sammy knew here she was stabbed?
Well, I just figured it, that's all.
Coincidence, huh?
Yeah, sure. You old rock, old boy. Just like when we picked this guy out of the mob.
Just like when you picked him.
Hey. Oh, now you're nuts.
When coincidence gets to be too coincidental, it ain't a coincidence. You follow me, Sammy?
What?
You said pick the least likely suspect. Okay, that's you.
Oh, Rock. You're drunk.
I was drunk. I'm sober now.
Maybe we better do a little checking on you. Maybe we better find out if you had anything to do with the murdered woman, huh?
Well, I... That won't be necessary. I'll tell you.
Okay, talk.
She was my fiancée. She was my fiancée, Rock. We were engaged to be married, I thought.
What?
Keep going.
I found out she was seeing this other guy. She was seeing lots of other men. One of them, a man she'd been blackmailing, came to me. This afternoon, I followed her up to Mr. Crispy's office. I listened outside the door and heard him arguing. I heard a sound like a struggle, and Mr. Crispy come out looking like a ghost.
You went in?
Yeah, she was on the floor. He choked her. When she began to come out of it, I questioned her about the blackmail. She admitted it. She told me she planned to work the same racket on me.
Nice kid.
So, I don't know, I lost my head. I grabbed a paper knife and I stabbed her. Then I locked the door and I came down to the bar and I started drinking.
That's where I came in.
I figured I'd be safe if I could pin the murder on Mr. Crispy. So, I just made up the business about the statistics.
You willing to sign a statement?
Yeah. I would be willing. Except that right now I have other plans.
Look out! Grab him! Grab him! Is he dead?
He's dead. Must have been crazy to think he'd get away like that.
You know, I think he knew he was going to get a bullet, Sarge.
What makes you think so?
I don't know. Figures, I guess.
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Others in tonight's cast include Paul Frees, Barney Phillips, Jack Nestle, George Perrone, and Ida Reese Marin. Tonight's script was written by George Lefferts. Andrew C. Love directed. Hey! tell you about next week's adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
Hi. Say, did you ever spread yourself all over one of them 300 grand Long Island pads? You sit down at a mahogany table and let the shiny silver get in your eyes while you shovel Patty DeFoy grass in through your front entrance of your face? Man, that's really living. Also, did you ever find yourself faced with a fancy 38 caliber lead purveyor in that same fancy type pad? Man, that's really dying. I'll see you next week.
Enjoy Fibber, McGee, and Molly tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as The Saint.
Waiter.
Yes, monsieur.
Waiter, will you tell the chef of this unhappy restaurant that he'd make a better shoemaker?
Monsieur, a shoemaker?
Look at this miserable concoction. It's called a salad.
But, monsieur...
Don't but me.
But, monsieur, I have something to tell you.
Yes?
Someone is waiting for you at another table.
Well, get back to him at once. Warn him against eating anything in this establishment. Tell him his life is in danger.
Mr. Tenter, there is something strange about the gentleman. I think he has a gun in his pocket.
Aha. More severe critic of food than I am. Well, tell the chef he'd better flee for his life.
Oh, do you wish to see him?
The chef? No, he'll have to look out for himself.
Not the chef, monsieur. The little man.
Hmm. He is little, isn't he?
Yes, sir, but...
Desperate air about it. Well, I'll go see him. How do you do? You wish to see me?
Mr. Temple, my name is Potts.
How do you do?
I need help. I'm the senior partner of Potts and Carter, Jewelers Extraordinary.
Extraordinary.
Earlier this evening, Mr. Carter was killed.
Oh, too bad.
Mr. Temple, it wasn't an accident.
Oh?
He was murdered.
Oh, I see. And the police are picking you for Queen of the May. And you want me to prove you didn't murder Carter?
Oh, no, Mr. Temple.
No?
No. I want you to prove I did. It's no use, Mr. Templer. I did kill Carter.
Well, why wouldn't the police believe you?
Because they couldn't find the corpse.
Well, there's usually one around after a murder, you know.
Somebody stole this one.
Stealing corpses is a rather restricted profession. Where did you kill your partner?
In our establishment on Wiltshire Boulevard.
Oh, that's a nice place for it. When?
Earlier this evening.
And then you phoned the police from the shop?
No, I couldn't bear the sight of Carter's body. I walked over to a nearby hotel and made my call from there.
And then?
I returned to the shop. I didn't go into the back.
But where the shooting had taken place?
Yes. I waited for the police. They arrived. I told them what had happened and let them into the back.
But when you got there, the cupboard was bare.
Yes, Mr. Temple.
No one had heard the shot?
No. You see, it's a business neighborhood. It was evening.
That's understandable. May I ask you a question, Mr. Potts?
Of course.
Are you tired of living?
Right. Oh, you mean, why am I so anxious to have the police leave me?
Yes.
Because I shot Carter in self-defense. He's a larger man than I am. He was threatening me with physical violence. I acted only in self-defense.
Oh, I see. Well, I'll drop you at your home, and, Mr. Potts, you've got a job.
Yes?
You've got to find your partner's body.
But I...
Now, ask yourself where you'd go if you were... No. No, he wouldn't be going anywhere himself. You better spend some time thinking about your friends. One of them might have removed the corpse in order to shield you. Or think of your enemies. Are you married?
Yes, I am.
Well, anyway, an enemy of yours might have moved the body to make the killing look like... Well, like premeditated murder. One way or another, Mr. Potts, you've quite a bit to think about, haven't you?
Sam?
Hmm? Well, my living room furniture is sprouting, or are you,
I'm Carter.
Carter?
Yes.
Of Potts and Carter?
Of Potts and Carter.
One of us is in a bad way. Either you're dead or I'm crazy.
I can assure you I'm not dead.
Oh, very well. I'll see a psychiatrist in the morning. Tonight I'm sleepy.
What did Potts want with you?
Well, you've been haunting me, haven't you?
I've been following Potts. What did he want?
Oh, nothing really. He merely wanted to assure me that he'd killed you.
He'd what?
Killed you. Shot you, to amplify an already unbelievable remark.
He said that? He must be insane.
Well, eccentric, anyway. Mr. Carter, the situation is rather bizarre. A man confesses to a murder. The police do not believe him. He comes to me and asks me to prove him a murderer. I leave him and find myself confronting the man he claims to have murdered.
It
doesn't make sense. Now, perhaps it's not intended to.
What do you mean?
I suggest you go to the police, identify yourself to them, and ask complete protection for yourself.
I don't need any protection. Potts wouldn't harm a fly.
Yeah, but you're not a fly.
My dear fellow, the possibility of Potts really doing me harm is something I can't take seriously.
Why not go to the police anyway?
I couldn't without exposing Potts to ridicule and...
Your solicitude for your partner is rather touching, especially since he accused you of being a thief, of stealing from the firm, to be precise.
He said that?
Yes.
Then I have something to think about.
You've something to fear.
Nonsense.
No. No, a man has already confessed to your murder, and you're still alive. His confession may have been moonstruck madness, or it may have been prophecy. Good night, Mr. Carlin. Cars they put out nowadays have rare and wonderful gadgets attached. Pardon me, but I'm trailing a fellow.
Who?
A man named Carter. Do you know him?
Mm-hmm.
Do I know you, or should I?
What do you think?
Carter's cab is well in sight. Just a moment. I'll take my eyes off the cab for a moment and... yes, I should. What's your name?
Care.
I'm Simon. Mm. You know, I only bought this car yesterday. Are you part of the standard equipment?
No, I go with the deluxe models only.
Well, I'm so glad I paid for the extras. Claire, what?
Doesn't matter.
Depends on where we're going or what we do when we get there.
This is a nice, quiet street.
Hey, wait a minute. That's the ignition key.
I know.
Look, you've got the key.
Mm-hmm.
Well, may I borrow, eh?
No.
Now Carter's cab is out of sight. Hey, you're cute.
This is as far as we're going. And now, Simon, what are we going to do?
Hey,
I beg your pardon. Oh, hello, officer.
Now, this may be a residential neighborhood, but
it is.
But that doesn't mean you should play house here.
Well, we weren't exactly playing house, officer. I was trying to persuade the lady to return my ignition key to me.
Is that a fact? Lady, give him back his ignition key.
All right, officer. Here you are, Simon.
Thank you.
Now, you take that ignition key and stick it in the lock.
Uh-huh.
That's right. Now you turn it. Oh, you're doing very nicely. Now you push the little button over there.
This one?
Yeah. Oh, charming. Now you shift the gear into first. You release the handbrake. Now you're a bright boy. The next time you go out with a girl, make sure your ignition key isn't showing. Now step on the gas and get the heck out of here.
Are you angry with me?
For delaying me? Not especially.
Where are you taking me?
To a jewelry store.
Oh, you really shouldn't. You don't know me well enough. Mm-hmm. Which jewelry store, sir?
Potts and Carter. You know the place?
I sure. My husband owns half of it.
Oh. Potts or Carter?
Potts.
They must have a nice assortment of stones.
What makes you think so?
Potts doesn't bat in your league, baby. Not in his own merit.
Well, I'm not so sure that's a compliment.
Rude about it, huh? Because, we've arrived. Hey, there's a light in the back. Are you coming with me?
No.
Why not? You think your hubby might be there?
I'm brooding.
All right. Just don't hatch anything.
Who's there?
Open the door.
Okay.
Templar.
Now, how right you are, Miss Carter.
What do you want?
Let's go inside.
I said
inside.
Well, come in. But...
I know. You weren't expecting company. The house is a mess.
What made you think I'd be here?
I wasn't sure, but it was a possibility, so I came.
Now that you're here...
I'd like to take a look in that back room where the light is.
Where the light?
And I rather suspect the vault.
Templar, I don't have to stand for this.
No, but I've got a feeling you're going to. Let's get on with it, shall we?
I was checking stock.
Well, let's both check.
Wait a minute. You mightn't understand.
Give me a chance to first, huh?
I don't want you to come in
Keep
here.
Walking.
All right. But, well,
you idiot, if you think that by putting the lights out, you...
Carter!
Simon!
Claire, I...
heard the shots. I came up to Simon. Where?
The light switch is near the back door. I got it. All quiet now.
Simon, at your feet.
Lying half across the doorway, Mr. Carter.
Eyes are open. Simon, they're open.
Dead. There's blood leaking out from under him. Let's take a look at the back room. Yeah, back window leading to an alley. Not so much for that. Now, the vault's open.
Simon, how can you worry about that when the man's
I've
dead?
I've seen dead men before. The vault's empty.
I don't care.
Your husband might. The police certainly would. Well, I gotta go.
Oh, but you can't leave me.
You've got a job notifying the police. They wouldn't like it if you didn't.
What are you going to do?
Where do you live?
Bell Tower Drive.
What number?
39.
All right. Dial operator, ask for police headquarters, tell them all. Me, I'm going to visit with a man who confessed to a murder before it was committed. Curious to see whether he's going to stick to that confession now that the murder is a murder. Yes, I'm peculiar. I want to see Mr. Potts at this hour.
I'm sorry, but...
Maybe your regret.
Good heavens, sir. You pushed me aside.
Tonight you win the badge for alertness. Now shut the door.
Yes, sir.
Where's Potts?
I refuse to...
You're not the usual, Bucky. You're young, big, and you look as if you've got muscles. Yes, you let me push you aside as if you were a doddering old man. Why?
My father was a butler before me, sir, and his father before him. We're accustomed to dealing with gentlemen, sir.
Must be quite a come-down talking to me. Where's Potts?
He's not at home, sir.
You sure?
Quite, sir.
Let's go look for him as though we didn't know he was out.
But I assure you, sir, that he...
Show me. Well, he's not in the house.
No.
Don't look so smug. Mrs. Potts isn't in the house either.
You knew that, sir, before you looked.
Tell me, how does she feel about her husband?
I beg your pardon.
All right. You've given me the proper outraged response. What's your name?
Anderson, sir.
Anderson, make a speech.
Well, my father was...
And his father before him. And I'll bet you they all knew exactly what cooked with the master and mistress. So do you. What cooks?
Well... Mr. Potts is a very fine man. Mrs. Potts is
a very fine woman. And you take the high road and I'll take the low road. Hey, company's coming. I will take the low road. Butler, who am I?
I don't know, sir.
Good. Then tell the police all about me when they arrive. And they'll be here soon. It'll give them something to think about besides Mrs. Potts. And Anderson?
Yes, sir?
You think about something besides Mrs. Potts, too. Something like murder, hmm?
Good afternoon, sir. Oh.
It's only Simon here.
Hello, Simon.
Business as usual here at Potts and Carter, hmm?
Yes, usual enough, I suppose, with Carter lying in the morgue and my husband.
Where?
Nobody knows.
Police looking for him?
Yes.
Warrant out for him?
No, of course not.
Then whom have they in mind for Carter's murder?
A burglar. It's obvious what happened last night. Someone was burgling the vault. Carter surprised him. The burglar shot Carter.
It's a theory with a great many pleasant aspects. It doesn't explain your husband's confession, though.
Well, he was overworked. He was tired. He didn't know what he was saying. Police afraid that maybe he'd lost his mind or something.
Yeah, I like that, or something better. The theory doesn't explain your husband's accusations against Carter. Accusations of theft.
Simon, I don't know anything about all this.
Then why your act in the car last night?
I was worried about my husband, about Carter. And then I've always wanted to meet you.
Oh. Why?
Well, it's not the kind of thing I can talk about coldly like this.
Well, we must discuss it warmly. Some other time. Right now, what about Anderson, your butler?
Anderson?
I don't trust him. I know it's not done this year, mistrusting butlers, but I have a feeling he knows more than he should.
More than he should about what?
Why don't you find out?
What? Could I?
By discussing things with him, warmly.
I'm not so sure I'd like that.
I'm not making friends today, just influencing people.
I can't imagine what Anderson would or wouldn't know.
Stimulate your imagination by going out to the house now and working on him.
You really think it's important?
Very important. Now run along.
Well, all right, but for sure.
I'll lock up. You go on.
Will I see you later?
I'll be at home, stirring up the furnace.
Simon, you don't have to have a furnace to be warm.
Well, first the back door. Locked. And now the front door. Locked. Now?
Hey.
Yes?
Hey, Sal.
Yes?
That's your heap over there?
Yes, it is.
Better take a cab.
I like my heap.
Now, don't look now, but some low characters let the air out a couple of your tires.
Oh. Well, then suppose we go for a ride in your cab. 39 Bell Tower Drive. Hmm?
Okay.
Say, did you happen to notice the happy prankster who deflated my tire?
Sure I noticed her. Why not? I'm under 80.
Oh, well, why didn't you stop her?
Mister, I'm a married man. That means I'm cautious. For all I knew, maybe you're the kind of fellow likes a girl to deflate his tires for him.
It depends on the circumstances, Kathy. Not so early in the morning.
Okay. Next time I'll know you don't like a girl to deflate your tires for you in the morning. You don't think it's fun.
No, I think it's murder.
Nine Bell Tower Drive up ahead.
Okay. Pull over here.
Okay. Nice stuff. What, I should wait for you?
We'll both wait.
For somebody to get to the house?
No, for someone to leave it.
Hey. Hey, mister.
Yeah?
There's a guy leaving the house now, getting into a car.
Good. Anderson, follow the car.
Okay. Not too close, huh?
Not too close.
There he goes. Well, we go too. Hope he ain't going on no long trip. I ain't got too much gas in the tank.
He's going on a very long trip, and yet I don't think he's going far.
Huh?
Space is relative, cabby. Remember what Hamlet said?
Well, I wasn't around at the time.
I could be bounded by a nutshell, yet count myself king of infinite space.
Oh, yeah, I remember it now.
Were it not that I have bad dreams.
Nice guy, Hamlet.
I wonder, does Anderson have bad dreams?
Getting dark. I don't like these hills when it starts getting dark.
They're barren.
Yeah, and they're steep. Hey, the guy we're trailing is turning off the road.
Private driveway. Pull up to it and stop.
Okay.
The house is beyond the bend. Quite near the road. Cabby.
Yeah?
I'm leaving you. Look, I want you to drive back to town. The instant you hit a place with a phone, call the police.
Yeah, and tell them what?
To warm a cell for a murderer. They can pick the murderer up here.
Okay, pal. But don't do nothing rash.
Oh, hello, Anderson. Fancy finding me here,
Templer.
Mr. Templer, whatever would your grandfather say?
What do you want?
I'm admiring the country home of the Potts. By the way, where is Mr. Potts?
I don't know.
Oh, who's that, a sick friend?
Stay away from that door.
Nonsense. It looks like a charming door. Works, too. Purple. Mr. Potts, tied and gagged.
I told you to stay away from
me. I don't accept advice graciously, nor do I care for large... With lantern jaws. But lantern jaws are handy to hit. Now for you, Mr. Pott. We'll get the gag out of your mouth. There. You feel better?
Oh,
well, don't rush it. Your hand. Nice job.
Quiet. Look out behind you.
Oh, hello, Claire.
Hello.
So glad you dropped in.
You are?
Yes. Remember I warned you about your butler? It was he who brought your husband here, tied him up, etc.
That's interesting.
You should ask me why I suspected him. Oh, all right, I'll tell you. When I visited your house and met Anderson for the first time, we had a little chat, in the course of which he remarked that I knew you weren't in the house before I searched it. That's odd, you know.
Why?
Because how did he know I'd seen you outside the house unless...
Unless what?
Let me help you to your feet, Mr. Bartley.
I can't move.
Standing up will help restore the circulation.
Unless what, Mr. Templer?
Oh, tut, tut. So formal, Mr. Templer. Unless, Claire, you told him.
Oh, why should I have told him that?
Obviously, because you and he were in on this little plot together.
Plot?
To kill Carter and frame your husband for the murder. Thus you would inherit the business. And the butler.
You're charming, Simon, but fantastically wrong. You're implying Anderson killed Carter?
No, no. He'll go to the gas chamber as accessory.
To whom?
To you.
That's silly. Carter was shot from the back room. I was out front with you.
You were at the front door, that's true. Carter was shot as he was going into the back room. His back, therefore, was to us. And yet, if you remember, he was shot in the back. Afterwards, we remarked how he lay face upward with the blood coming out from underneath him.
You aren't a fool, are you?
Oh, dear, dear. I was wondering how long it would be before you produced the pistol. Mr. Potts, can you stand alone?
I can't. I'm falling.
Well, then fall in your wife's direction. Twilight! Mrs. Potts, your gun, if you please. Thank you. Well, that's a good deal better. The police will be here shortly, and that will be that. Oh, relax, Mr. Potts. You've fallen to rise again, but your wife, I'm afraid, has deflated her last tire. Good help.
Mr. Templer, how could I have killed Carter and not killed him?
Simplicity itself, Mr. Potts. Your gun had been carefully loaded with blanks. Carter pretended to be dead.
But why should he have done that?
Your wife must have persuaded him that by doing that he would escape going to jail for theft. She'd have a hold over you.
Oh, she's not a very nice woman, is she?
No. With Carter murdered, she was preparing to have you disappear permanently. It would seem to the police that you'd killed Carter and fled to the country.
Oh, I can't thank you.
Don't bother. It was fun. But in the future, Mr. Potts, before you confess to murdering anyone, be sure you murder him.
You have been listening to another adventure of the Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. And now here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, freedom is everybody's job. The Bill of Rights established our freedom and protects it. But freedom demands that each of us carry out our duties as a citizen. To vote in an informed way so that the best man is placed in public office. To serve on juries. To take an active interest in public issues. Remember, by making our form of government work better here, we strengthen democracy everywhere. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at the same time for another exciting adventure of the Saint. Good night.
By Harry Zimmerman. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Saphir production and is directed by Thomas A. McAvity. Vincent Price is soon to be seen in Robert Lippert's production of The Baron of Arizona. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer, Merrill Ross. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell brings you mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolfe's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. No, I'm sorry, Mr. Wolfe is busy planning a menu. I'll see if he can talk to you. What's the name again? You want to talk to a dame named Mrs. Collins?
Hang up, Archie.
Do we know a Mrs. Collins?
No.
I don't suppose you care, but I think her voice is very charming.
Doubtless. Every female has a charming voice to you. Hang up.
Okay. I'm sorry, Mrs. Collins, but at the moment, Mr. Wolfe is too involved with his digestive system to be interrupted. However, if I may introduce myself, Archie Goodwin, Mr. Wolfe's assistant, if I can be of any help...
Archie.
Yes, Mrs. Collins, I'll ask him. Cocktail party.
Hang up, Archie.
Mrs. Collins, I'm afraid it would be better if you didn't expect Mr. Wolfe. Goodbye. Cocktails. Fooey.
Sad. Very absurd.
She says you promised to come to her cocktail party, and why aren't you there?
Because you are going to attend the cocktail party and the probable unpleasant ending.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's that genius who is the bulkiest, balkiest, the most ponderous, and most brilliant detective in the world. Yes, none other than that chair-born mass of unpredictable intellect, Nero Wolfe, created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
Mr. Wolfe and I refer to this as the case of the party for death. Nero Wolfe really should have gone to the party since he had accepted, but I was delegated. I can't complain now since it was there that I met Georgia, the most beautiful redhead. Well, that's my weakness, redheads. Yeah, blondes and brunettes. Well, anyway, Mr. Wolfe was adamant about going to the party.
I've never been to a cocktail party in my life. You know, I drink nothing but beer.
You could take your beer with you, couldn't you?
I could not.
Do we know a Mrs. Collins whose cocktail party you said you'd go to?
The phone rang and I picked it up.
Where was I?
Exactly.
Okay. So a Mrs. Collins with a beautiful, seductive voice conned you into accepting an invitation to a cocktail party that you knew you weren't going to.
Archie.
Yes, Master.
Just a little less sarcasm, perhaps.
Sarcasm?
Call it impertinence, then.
Impertinence, Master?
Exactly. Less of that. Much less.
Okay.
Continue now.
Where was I?
You were reading the duck recipe.
Oh, yes, the duck. Oh, here we are. Dodine de Canard. The dodine is one of the oldest dishes in the repertory of French cooking, being mentioned in books of the 14th century. Le Grand Cuisinier de Tout Cuisiné.
Hooey, what time is it, Archie?
Almost 6:30.
Oh, in that case...
You gonna get up?
Here on this card are your instructions, Archie. If you are still alive tomorrow, you may make your report.
I helped the huge bulk that was Nero Wolfe out of his specially built desk chair and walked with him to the elevator that would take him upstairs to his orchids. I stepped back to the desk and found the card which bore my instructions. In his small, perfect handwriting, I read, Mrs. Albert Collins, Empire Towers. Arrive at 7, say I sent you. After the murder, telephone me before the police arrive. At exactly 7, I rang Mrs. Collins' doorbell. Mrs. Collins?
I'm Mrs. Collins.
I'm Archie Goodwin. We talked on the phone a little while ago.
Oh, yes. Well, come in, Mr. Goodwin.
Mr. Wolfe begs to be excused. At the last moment, he was unable to attend.
Well, I'm glad you could come.
You're not disappointed?
No, I don't think so. I'm rather upset. I'm afraid, Mr. Goodwin, for my life. That's why I called Mr. Wolfe. Oh, just drop your hat and coat there, Mr. Goodwin.
May I tell you something, Mrs. Collins?
Well, of course, Mr. Goodwin.
Archie will do.
Archie?
When I spoke to you on the phone, I thought I knew what you'd look like.
And?
You do.
Well, is that good?
It's not bad, Mrs. Collins.
Janie will do.
Janie will do.
Archie, I think it would be best if I say you're an old beau of mine.
From where?
In Hollywood. When I went to Hollywood High School and you went to USC.
Okay, but don't expect me to remember much about it.
I'll be flattered if you remember anything about it. I want you to keep your eyes and ears open. Observe everything tonight. Well, now shall we join the party? Oh, Albert, this is Archie Goodwin. Archie, this is my husband, Albert.
How do you do?
Hello.
And this is Joe Boyce, my husband's partner.
How do you do? Boyce?
I've told you about Archie, Albert, but well, I guess you probably don't remember, do you?
No, I don't.
When I was in high school and he went to USC.
Oh. Oh, yeah, sure. What'll you have, Goodwin?
I'd like a plain lime and soda.
Oh, not really. A teetotaler now?
Yes, I used to overdo it, uh-huh. Remember?
So you knew my wife in Hollywood?
Quite a while ago, though.
Uh-huh. Been here long?
Oh, a while.
Did you and my wife run into each other again just lately?
Yeah.
A few days ago?
About.
Joe Boyce here is my partner, chemical business. Makes this sort of an old home week, doesn't it, Joe?
In a way, Al. I guess it does at that.
Joe knew my wife back in those days, too. And they're still very friendly. Yes. Yes, indeed. You two have got something in common to talk about, haven't you, Goodwin?
Mrs. Collins, you mean? We never knew each other very well.
No? Okay, Goodwin, let it go.
Why, look. Look what I found. A new man. Just what I need. I'm Georgia.
Archie.
Archie, dear, will you fix up my drink, please?
Anything for a lady.
Let's go to the bar, eh, Archie?
I'm determined, Joe. If it were only the money, our only Jane, I might listen.
Oh, Al, can't we talk about it later?
I like talking about it now, Joe.
You're going to be sorry about this, Al.
I am already. But you will have 20 years or so in prison just being sorry. I've got the papers you forged right here.
You're hysterical, Al, let's face it. The firm went broke, but I suffered too. So let's forget it.
Yes, Joe, the firm went broke, but you didn't. And I don't think my wife did either. The two of you had everything figured for yourselves. Well, I'm turning the papers over to the DA tomorrow.
Nero Wolf speaking.
Archie, what do you know about this expected murder, if anything?
Has it happened yet?
No, but who's supposed to get killed?
I haven't the faintest idea, Archie.
Then why don't you stop it?
That is impossible. I don't even know who's there.
You want me to tell you?
Not in the least.
How am I supposed to prevent it if I don't know what I'm looking for?
You're not supposed to prevent it, Archie. I don't think you could. I don't think anybody could.
You want to hear what I found out already?
No.
I'll tell you anyway. Collins thinks his wife and his partner Boyce have been stealing his dough, and he's threatening to send Boyce to the clink.
Archie.
Yeah?
You're wasting our time. Go back to the party. There is nothing you can do to prevent the murder. But I want you to be there when it happens.
Now that all the guests have gone, let's sit down here, Georgia.
When Janie was in Hollywood, she must have had more good-looking boyfriends.
Let's get personal about this, Georgia.
Yeah, let's.
When you say good-looking, do you mean me?
I don't mean anybody else, Archie.
You know, I think you're pretty, too.
You'd better not let Jane hear you say that.
You think she'd care?
I thought you knew Jane.
Only slightly. You don't like Jane too well, do you?
Why?
Why? Why what?
Why don't you tell the truth about it? No man as attractive as you ever knew Jane slightly. Either they knew her or they didn't know her. Maybe you think I'm getting a little tipsy.
The idea never occurred to me.
No? Well, it has to me.
Refill your glass?
I'll come with you to the bar.
Well, here's your drink, Georgia. Oh, I find there's no ice left in the ice bucket.
Janie? Hey, Janie, no ice.
Oh, well, I'll get some. Here, give me the bucket.
Mrs. Collins, Janie, I mean.
Yes, Archie.
May I use the phone in the bedroom again?
Oh, of course.
Will you excuse me for a minute, Georgia?
I'm coming with you.
Why don't you just stay here until Jane brings the ice? Well, why don't you go talk to Joe Boyce?
I don't want to talk to Joe Boyce. I don't want to talk to Joe Boyce ever.
Now, look, Georgia.
I'm coming with you, Archie. Is that clear?
Okay, come on.
Here's where the phone is.
I could have found it myself.
You don't want me with you, do you?
Just sit down here on the edge of the bed and listen, if that's what you want to do.
Nero Wolf speaking.
Archie, boss.
Well, Archie, what?
Just a bit of a report.
Go on.
At this moment, I am sitting on the edge of one of two twin beds in the apartment of Mr. and Mrs. Albert Collins. Sitting next to me is a gorgeous redhead named Georgia. Georgia what, dear?
Boyce.
You mean you're the wife of Joe Boyce?
Of course. Didn't you know?
I am sitting next to the gorgeous redheaded wife of Albert Collins' partner, Joe Boyce.
Archie, you annoy me.
From what I just learned, I can see there's another friction going on.
You mean Georgia and Jane?
Yep. Fireworks between them. This one, no like other one.
Have you anything more to say?
When I called, I was going to ask if there's any reason why I shouldn't come home now.
I wrote your instructions for you, Archie.
After the murder, call you.
Yeah, that's perfectly clear, isn't it?
But what if there isn't any?
Don't call me. Simple, isn't it?
Hello. He hung up.
Archie.
What?
It was a strange conversation.
Do you want me to explain it to you, honey?
What was that business about murder?
Shall we join the party?
Murder. Archie, wouldn't you be surprised if there was one?
Yeah? Who's going to do what and to whom?
I don't know. Maybe I will.
Elucidate, honey. Do you intend to figure as the killer or the corpse?
I don't intend to figure as anything. But you never know. Archie, do you think Jane Collins is better looking than me?
Nope.
Honestly?
Honestly.
Then what's the matter with me?
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Oh, yes, there is. Look, do you want to kiss me?
Well, I'll tell you. When I graduated from Sunday school, I took a vow.
That's what I mean. But if I were Jane, you'd want to kiss me, wouldn't you?
No, frankly, no.
Why not?
Well, when I graduated from Sunday school, I...
Okay, Archie. Let's go back. You boys have such happy faces. Where's Jane?
In the kitchen getting some ice. Where have you been?
With Archie.
Is he an old school chum of yours, too?
Do you care, Joe?
No.
Mr. Boyce.
What?
How much do you weigh?
187. Why?
Then I'll be giving you 5 pounds. Shall we step outside?
This I have got to see.
Shut up. Mr. Goodwin, you seem angry.
Just terribly, terribly hurt.
Would it do any good if I apologized? Today I'm a little upset. If I said anything to offend you, I do apologize. Now, if you still want me to give you a boxing lesson, I'm at your service.
Let's forget it. I'm sorry, too. Jane Collins came in from the kitchen with a bucket of ice cubes, a tray of fresh glasses, and the strapless gown she'd been wearing.
There! I never thought I'd make it. Now I'm going to mix my own drink, and you can take care of yourselves. Ice first. Whiskey. And soda. It's a simple recipe, isn't it, Archie?
All it needs is the ingredients.
Well, I drink to the ingredients. Ah, nice.
Janie, darling.
What, dear?
Would you mind very much if I took Archie away from you?
Haven't you done that already, dear?
To listen to those girls, you'd think. Wouldn't you, Goodwin?
Me, I never think.
What do you do, Archie?
I concentrate.
On what?
On not thinking. I did some serious concentrating on not thinking about Nero Wolfe, or about the conflict of the partners, Albert Collins and Joe Boyce, about the jealousies of Jane and Georgia. The next 5 minutes hardly seemed an hour. Jane and Boyce murmured to each other. Collins drank, gently but firmly.
Why can't you be honest, Archie? What's the matter with me?
What, Georgia?
You weren't listening, were you?
To every gorgeous word you said.
What did I say?
I want to hear it again, just the way you said it before.
I said, why shouldn't there be a murder? Why not? It's an order.
It's just not considered the thing to do.
Thing to do? Can you think of anything better?
No, frankly.
I can. My glass is empty.
My glass is empty, too. Jane. Jane!
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not much of a hostess, am I? Oh, don't answer that. Oh, you're all empty. But I've only drunk half of mine.
You don't usually drink so slowly, Jane.
Oh, I'm just not in the mood tonight. I usually drink faster to keep you from drinking mine. See, Albert always gulps his and then reaches for mine.
What's the difference?
Well, I'll fix you some fresh drinks, but put my drink over there by you, Georgia. And lay off, Albert. I only had about 3 swallows of it. Besides, you don't need any more.
I suppose we know what dear Jane is going to do, don't we?
Lay off, will you?
Lay off. It's my husband who said that, Archie. Archie, meet my husband, Mr. Boyce. I will now explain why dear Jane took our glasses away to the kitchen when she could have poured a drink right here.
Listen, George,
Mr.
will you...
Mr. Boyce is speaking, Archie. What, Mr. Boyce?
Nuts.
Mr. Boyce says nuts, Mr. Goodwin. What do you say, Mr. Collins?
I think Joe has covered the field.
We were talking, weren't we, Archie?
Possibly.
We were talking about dear Jane. She's got to be always the prettiest, always devastating. Right now, she's putting on a completely new face. And in about 20 minutes, when our tongues are hanging out, she'll come back, all horsed up and bright and smiling, with another tray of drinks.
Yeah, she'll take all night to fix them.
Well, I'm going to get some air on the balcony.
Don't jump off. Al, you're drinking too much lately.
I shouldn't worry you, Joe. Especially now.
When you start drinking, not only your drinks, but everybody else's too, well... Ah, Jane's right.
Is that what worries you? Slide Jane's glass down. The ice is all melted.
You see what I mean?
Okay, Joe, let's not be nasty until tomorrow. That gives me an idea. Think I'll propose a toast. Until tomorrow. You know, it may be rather fitting that I should drink a toast from the glass that Janie left. Until tomorrow.
Go! Al. Al? Jane? Janie!
Albert! Oh, Albert.
Nero Wolf speaking.
May I come home now?
Oh, hello, Archie.
I said, may I come home now?
Have you sent for the police, Inspector Kramer?
Of course.
Who was killed, Archie?
Albert Collins.
How, Archie?
I don't know. You were right, though, weren't you?
Naturally. About what?
Murder.
Oh, that. We can talk about it tomorrow. Good night, Archie. Come home when you can.
What do you mean, come home when I can?
You'll be held as a witness, won't you? Try not to wake me with the elevator when you come in.
Well, Inspector Kramer, you've had me here at headquarters for a long while. For quite a long while. Haven't you asked me enough questions?
Goodwin, you say you never saw these people before, Collins or Boyce or their wives. Yet when all the other guests had gone, you were still there.
I guess I just don't know how to say goodbye.
You didn't know they were partners in a chemical company. You didn't know that Boyce had forged a lot of papers with Collins' name.
All I know is what you tell me.
Goodwin.
Yes, sir.
I'm trying to be nice.
Yes, sir.
Now, I know, of course, that you went to that party because Nero Wolf told you to.
Do you?
My question is, how did Wolf know it was going to happen?
Why don't you ask him?
I already have.
He told you?
He says he never heard of Collins or Boyce.
Did he say he'd ever heard of me?
He says he isn't responsible for you or your shady friends. Maybe he knows I found a poison pellet in George's bag.
Inspector, may I make an important call?
Go ahead.
Archie, Archie. Confounded light. Hello?
What time is it, Master?
Confounded, Archie.
I'll tell you what time it is. It's a little after 4 a.m. I'm at Central Headquarters, and Inspector Kramer has been chatting with me about my shady friends.
Kramer is a jackass.
Just a second. Pick up the other phone, will you, Inspector? Sorry, Mr. Wolf, what was that you were saying about Inspector Kramer?
I said Kramer is a jackass.
Thank you.
Wait a minute, Wolf.
Oh? Eavesdropping, Inspector.
I was just talking about bringing you down here for a little questioning, Wolf.
Phooey.
What's that?
Phooey. It can be spelled in several ways. I spell it P-F-U-I. Phooey.
You think I won't bring you down here as a material witness?
Yes, I think you won't. I think you'd be making a great mistake if you did.
A great mistake? Why?
Because I might not tell you who killed Collins. And you wouldn't know which one of these people to prefer charges against. Now send Archie home. Even he needs an occasional night's sleep.
What do you think of that? He hung up.
So it seems. Busy? He's probably left the phone off the hook, Inspector. By now, he's probably asleep again.
You know I can go out there, don't you?
Sure you can. More important men than you have tried it. And where are they now?
Goodwin?
Yes, sir.
I'm going to let you go.
I'm sure Mr. Wolfe and I are very grateful, Inspector.
You want to know why I'm letting you go?
I know why.
Why?
Because if you're nice and cooperative and don't make too much trouble, Mr. Wolfe will solve this case for you and tell you whom to prefer charges against.
Goodwin.
Sir?
Get out.
Thank you, Inspector. Good morning, Inspector. At 3 o'clock the next afternoon, I was rearranging the furniture in Nero Wolfe's office while the great man sat behind his desk watching me perspire.
Are you finished now, Archie?
I guess so.
And tell me where this at.
There were two couches, like this, in front of a fireplace. Collins and Boyce were sitting together on one couch. When Georgia and I came in, they were looking at some canceled checks.
Where was Mrs. Collins?
I told you, she was getting ice and fresh glasses.
Why was she getting fresh glasses, Archie? Where were the empty ones?
I don't know. Maybe they were the same ones she brought back washed and polished.
Archie, I trust your powers of observation absolutely. That's why I sent you to Mrs. Collins' cocktail party.
Okay, how did you know there was going to be a murder? If it was a murder.
It was a murder, Archie. But isn't it obvious?
How is it obvious? Suppose Collins slipped a few drops of the poison into his drink himself.
It's very strong, very deadly poison. With a remarkably strong odor.
Like almonds, I know. I smelled it when I picked him up.
Archie, was anything found on the body that might have contained the poison? A fountain pen? Whatever?
Not even that.
Inspector Kramer found a poison pellet in Georgia's handbag. He thinks she poisoned Collins' drink.
Say, could be. But it wasn't his drink, it was his wife's. Then Georgia was trying to kill Jane, and Collins got it by mistake.
We shall soon see, Archie.
I was expecting a murder because you told me to expect it. I watched every move that everybody made. There's no possibility that Jane's glass, the glass with the poison in it, was tampered with by anybody.
Yes, I believe.
Okay.
Archie, you're sore, aren't you?
Have you ever spent the night with Inspector Kramer? He's really a good man, too. Why did you say he was a jackass?
Because he didn't know who killed Collins.
Do you?
Of course. Is there ever any question about it?
Just a moment, please.
The only trouble is it may be difficult to prove. That's why we are giving this little cocktail party this afternoon with the help of Inspector Kramer. By the way...
Yes?
Call Mrs. Collins and tell her to bring a bucket of ice from her refrigerator.
Why?
Because our refrigerator's broken down.
No, it hasn't. I was just out in the kitchen a minute ago.
Our refrigerator has broken down. And it would be very helpful if Mrs. Collins would bring a bucket of ice cubes.
What makes you think she'll do it?
She will. Call her.
6:45. There we were in Wolfe's office doing a repeat performance of last night's smash hit. Two couches faced each other, a cocktail table between them. On one couch, red-headed Georgia and me. On the other couch, it was a big one, Joe Boyce, Jane Collins, widow of the lately defunct Albert, and Nero Wolfe. Jane had been drinking a little slower than the rest of us. Our glasses were empty. Hers was still half full. Wolfe said...
Margie.
Yeah?
At this point in last night's party, Mrs. Collins got up and left to get some fresh drinks. Repeat what she said.
Approximately?
Approximately will do.
I think she said something like this. She said, put my drink over by you, Georgia. Lay off, Albert. I've had about 3 swallows of it. Besides, you don't need any more, Albert. Am I right, Jane?
Close enough, Archie. But what of it?
Now, what is this nonsense all about, Wolf?
Mr. Wolf is trying to make something out of nothing.
I think Mr. Wolf is going to turn up something mighty interesting. Don't look so perturbed, Joe.
Since I am playing the part of the late Mr. Collins, pass me Jane's glass.
I'll keep my glass, Mr. Wolf. I haven't finished my drink.
You're a very clever woman, Mrs. Collins.
Would it be too much if I ask what this is all about?
What is you, Archie?
You make it sound as if that drink she's holding is poison. But it can't be, because as yesterday, she's already drunk half of it herself.
When our freezer broke down, she was more than willing to bring a bucket of ice cubes, wasn't she?
So?
What would happen, Archie, if you froze a gelatine-coated pellet of poison in the center of one particular ice cube? Mrs. Collins hasn't finished her drink. Notice the ice has all melted now. She hasn't taken one sip since the ice melted completely. She came prepared in case she was exposed. Smell it, Archie.
No, Archie, stand back. I can easily swallow this before you can reach me. Mr. Wolfe, in a few seconds, I'll drink it. But tell me something first. Tell me how you knew.
Jane, listen to me.
I knew there was going to be a murder last night because you said so. I knew that it was you who would commit the murder because it was you who invited me. You hoped an expert witness would prove that you couldn't have killed your husband. So I sent Archie Goodwin, whose observations are always exact, even when he doesn't know the import of what he's observing.
She brought back clean glasses. She poured the drinks out of bottles already open. And if anybody had put anything in or touched one of those glasses, I would have seen it.
Exactly. The poison pellet was frozen in a certain ice cube. Mrs. Collins put that cube in her own drink, drank it until the ice had almost melted down to the poisonous pellet center. And then she took all the other glasses away, leaving only hers half full. And as usual, her husband drank it.
No, Jane, don't. Don't!
Too late, Joe. Too late.
Well, boss, Jane didn't get away with the suicide try. That was clever thinking you did.
I prepared a cube of ice in which I had frozen a gelatine capsule containing nothing more than a vitamin compound. I substituted for the cube in which Jane had placed the poison for herself.
Wonder why Jane Collins wanted to have Joe. He'd stolen practically all the money in the company. He's just a crook.
Birds of a feather, Archie. I don't believe Joe Boyce had any idea that Jane was planning a murder. And he still had all the money.
Well, the forgeries will put him away for a long time. And poor Georgia could have had it pinned on her if it hadn't been for me.
Yes, yes. You knew all along, didn't you, that Jane had planned to have Georgia accused by planting another pellet of the poison in Georgia's handbag. Jane would have gotten rid of her husband and Joe's wife in one stroke. You knew all that, didn't you?
Well, I... How about a bottle of beer, boss?
Could you spare the time?
Georgia. Beautiful redhead. Wonder where she is tonight.
I'm sure I haven't the slightest idea, but in case you do... Well, just be quiet with the elevator door when you come in.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story by Mindred Lord was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program, produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Harry Bartell as Archie Goodwin, and G.G. Pearson, Herb Butterfield, Peter Leeds, Evelyn Eaton, and Bill Johnstone. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Malevolent Medic. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
The scene has been...
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it.
Radio production.